Okay, welcome everybody to the Parental Power Call this week. We're excited this week to have a guest on the line with us. Her name is Sue Scheff. And Sue is joining us from, Sue, I'm not even sure. Where are you joining us from?
I'm in South Florida.
South Florida.
Right.
The last time I was in South Florida, it was about 7 degrees here in Salt Lake City.
Oh.
And we were down there hosting what we call the Marital Magic Cruise.
Oh, wow. And, where was that?
We took a bunch of couples to the Eastern Caribbean.
Eastern Caribbean. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was very fun.
Oh, wow.
So, and the three of us that are here in studio, we're all on that boat. But we'll invite you next time, if you want to join us in the Caribbean or something.
Oh, okay.
But Sue is a parent advocate. That's probably the title that's mostly used with you, I would think.
That is the title that is used with me 99.9% of the time, parent advocate.
And I think we'll understand better what that means after we have a little discussion with you. Sue is also the founder of Parents Universal Resource Experts, and the acronym for that is PURE, P-U-R-E. And I have gotten to know Sue a little bit over the last month or so, and some of the things that she's doing. I've been so impressed with the way, Sue, that you are bringing resources to parents. We were talking just before we started the recording about how a lot of times parents are just scratching their head, sometimes banging their head against the wall, not sure what to do when they encounter a problem with their kids, and there is nothing more important to them at the time. And just feeling frustrated and stuck is probably one of the worst experiences you can have as a parent. And I see the things that you're doing, Sue, as bringing resources to parents so that they don't have to keep banging their head against the wall. They can access some of the knowledge and wisdom and experience that other parents have had, and you have had some personal experiences that have kind of led you this direction. So,
right.
Sue, I just want to turn the time over to you for a little while to introduce yourself a little bit more.
Okay.
Or clear up anything that I got wrong just now, and tell us a little bit about your story.
No, basically, I am a parent advocate. I believe in parents helping parents. I created my organization out of a need. I went through a very difficult time with my own daughter, who is always a wonderful little girl, angelic. She was my, perfect baby. We all have them, the most beautiful, perfect baby, and right through until we hit 13 years old. And she was a gymnast. She had actually qualified to train at the national gym, and everything was going great. And I always said that she lived in a glass house, and the glass shattered, and she broke her foot, and she wasn't able to compete anymore. And she really didn't know what to do with her life. She didn't know where she fit in without gymnastics, without her athletic ability. And what happened was, she said, can I try public school? And this is not against public schools at all, but when you have a little girl that lived in this glass house, she had never been exposed to this type of school setting, and I let her try it, and she ended up hanging with the wrong kids. And I think a lot of the parents that call us today, we're dealing with good kids making some bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
And we all go the therapist route, and I totally believe, I always encourage parents to, seek out a local therapist. Try to find a therapist that specializes with adolescents. If they have support groups, that's even more beneficial. But, once you've exhausted every local resource and you're still, like you said, banging your head against the wall, because today's teens, preteens, are so different from when we were growing up, the generation we were growing up in. It's not like I could pick up the phone and ask my mother, what can I do with her? This is a generation of social networking, a generation that doesn't respect family, doesn't respect authority. My daughter became this child I didn't even recognize. I felt hostage to my home. I didn't know when she was going to run away again. She used vulgar language that I was just like, oh, my gosh, not out of this little tiny girl that didn't weigh anything but 60 pounds, and she went from this little gymnast and completely focused in school to doing witchcraft, dressing like I don't want to use the words like your hoochie mama. It was just the makeup, the hair, the clothing, and we are Catholic. She was an altar server at my church. I always had a very strong religious base in our household, and she totally defied everything we were for, she went against. And I hear parents going through this all the time. Mm. So basically, after I exhausted all my local resources, including sending her to my mother's to live, by the 10th day, my mother was like, I don't care where you send her or what, how much it costs, we'll take care of it. And that's when I really had to seek outside help. And I was dealing with a good kid making bad choices. She really wasn't involved in drug addicts or, you know, thank God. I mean, it was just defiant. Mm-hmm. It was a low self-esteem. It was making bad choices, and basically because she was lost. And when she went to the therapist, she probably wasn't 100% honest with them. And I actually had one therapist that told her that witchcraft, you know, was good depending on what witchcraft you were doing. So that really, that didn't help me too much.
Oh, boy.
But this is what parents are facing today, and you really don't know where to turn, and you don't know where to go. And the other thing you have to look at, especially in the state of Florida where I'm in, the children have a lot of rights over here. I mean, we can try to force them. You have to be home by 10 o'clock. They don't come home till midnight, and they just look at you and say, yeah, and? You know, there's really not much we can do. And when my daughter had run away, I called the cops. I called the authorities. She was gone for 2 or 3 days, and she was only 14 at the time. Oh. I was scared, and they couldn't do anything. They're a typical teen. But what do you do? And this is why I created PURE, because I wanted a parent support organization, something that a parent would understand me. Because, you know, when you call the cops and the authorities and they're just, like, shrugging their shoulders, there's nothing they can do, it's typical teen, well, that's great, but it's not helping us right now, is it?
That's right.
Basically, I wanted to create an awareness out there. Now, if you need to take that next step to find a quote-unquote teen help program, you know, especially in the state of Utah, you have a lot of fabulous programs out there. But on the same respect, then there's going to be those few programs that maybe don't meet the standards that you would want to place your child in. Mm-hmm. Parents don't know about this quote-unquote teen help industry until you step into it. And when you're desperate, I was desperate, and I was at wit's end, exactly what you were just describing. I just knew I needed help. I didn't know that I could research for help. I didn't know that when I received all these fancy brochures and tearful videos, that these people could possibly be scamming me, because I was so vulnerable at the time. You're weak. Your emotions take over. You don't think you can make a rash decision. On top of it, your own daughter, your own child, hates you. Do you know what that feels like as a parent? It's horrible.
Well, and Sue, I think a thing that you really didn't emphasize, and I don't know if you even mentioned it, but I remember from talking to you before that you were handling all this pretty much on your own, too, as a single parent.
I am a single parent, right. I am a single parent. I did it. I was actually got divorced when I was 5 months pregnant with my son, so I totally raised both my kids on my own. But what I like to tell parents a lot is I don't want parents to say, oh, well, it's because she's a single parent or because she didn't have a father in her life. And it's probably the abandonment issues of not having a father probably did. I'm sure I had some of it to do it, but I just feel like that when a parent says, well, I'm a single parent, I don't want you to use that as a crutch, because we still are empowered as parents to do the best we can, whether we're a single parent or in a you know, the regular mother and father situation. We still need to do all we can. There's still resources out there for us. But yes, I did do it all on my own with the help of my family.
Well,
and her father was never involved in her life, so.
You know, whether you're a single parent or not, I think one of the things that's important for all parents to understand is that these kinds of concerns and problems are no respecter of person or economic status or marital status or anything like that. And absolutely any family out there, any family constellation can encounter these kinds of difficulties.
Right, and I guess that's why I don't automatically say, yes, I'm a single, but you're right, I should, people should know. The thing of it is, if I say it right off the top, a lot of people will just tune you out. Oh, it's going to be another woe is me story. And that's, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's not what it's about. So I'm glad you brought it up, but I'm glad I was able to share my story first.
Right.
Yeah.
And that particular piece is interesting context, but it's irrelevant to the principles that people can apply to face and overcome these challenges.
Right.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say it can apply to single parents. It also applies to two-parent families or to multiple household families, just however the constellation is made up.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. In the same respect, whether we're single or married, I think our initial reaction, which mine was like, I want to find a boot camp. I want to teach her a lesson. She doesn't appreciate all she's given. I've given her. I've given up my life for her. I mean, these are your initial feelings that you go through. And I even have parents that call me on a daily basis. I want to find a good boot camp to set little Joey straight after what he's done to me. I want him to. And what parents don't understand, and I didn't at first either, is that these kids are already broken down. You want to place them into a boot camp and have that punitive environment. It's only going to break them down further, and it builds more anger. It builds more resentment. I'm in the state of Florida where they've literally shut down all the boot camps, and thank God for that. I just don't find any benefit in that. But when, again, you're first stepping into this teen help arena, you don't know anything. You don't know your options, and that's your initial thought is boot camp. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what PURE is about, too. My organization is about educating you. You want to look for schools and programs that build your child back up. Don't break them down. You want to protect them, not punish them. This isn't about punishing your child. It's about learning where these negative impulsivities are stemming from and working with them. Like my daughter probably had the broken foot, not being able to do her gymnastic, compounded with the abandonment issues of her father. But we never got that far because I chose the wrong school.
Mm.
You know, and you want to look for the parents scratch their head, what are you talking about? I said, you want positive and nurturing environments. Let's build these kids back up again. If you know, Joey likes skiing and snowboard, let's try to find a school that has some skiing and snowboarding. Yes, the therapy too, but we want to build him back up. Do you understand what I'm saying? And parents don't think that way when they're at their wit's end and you're like, oh, I just want to teach him a lesson, you know? So.
Well, yeah. I introduced you a minute ago to Dr. Jason Adams, who's here on the call with us as well. And Jason, you and I have both worked with troubled teens before. I know you've had some experience in working with teen programs, and there is certainly a wide variety of approaches out there.
Yes, there sure is. It's good talking with you, Sue. I've been looking at your website, too. You've done a lot of great work here. This is amazing.
Thank you.
And as you were talking, I completely understand what you're talking about, because there are plenty of programs out there that say to be one thing and really don't provide what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard.
Right.
You're right. A parent goes out there, they don't know what to do. They go to the websites. And I mean, even one of your pieces here talked about educational consultants. And just like with programs, there are ones out there that are really good, and there are ones out there that say they're good, but not.
Mm-hmm. It's extremely political, you know, and until you step into the arena, you don't, and in my book, it really describes what I think the ability of an educational consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Here's a little thought that some of our listeners may not have even thought about, and those of you moms who are calling in, or maybe Vicki, you can respond to some of this too. When you're a parent, what you're really looking for is some way to help your kid. And like you were saying, Sue, you can get so darn frustrated with what's going on that sometimes your natural inclination is, well, I'm going to shape them up. I'm going to put them into something that'll show them, you know. More of a punitive approach. And unfortunately, there's a lot of companies out there who are willing to cater to that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And to prey upon you, right, because you're vulnerable at that time. And I think part of the message of today's call is for parents to get help getting help.
Don't be a parent in denial. So many parents don't want to admit that their child, you know, has problems. Like it's a reflection upon parenting. And what happens with that, it just starts escalating. In other words, I feel if I didn't intervene at the time I did intervene, whether I may have ended up with a 15-year-old pregnant child, I may have ended up with a child doing drugs. Don't be a parent in denial. I mean, I can't preach that enough. You have to seek out help, starting with your local therapist and support groups.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That's great advice. Sometimes it's hard, though, isn't it, Sue? I mean, when you're in denial, you don't necessarily recognize.
It's hard to be pulled back out.
Right.
No, it is, but, you know, like I'll have a parent say to me, well, he's only smoking pot. Well, do you understand that only smoking pot is the gateway to maybe ecstasy or,
right.
you know, cocaine?
Oh, yeah.
But they really don't see that. They really honestly don't see that. And I think the other huge misconception, which I touch upon in my book, is that parents automatically believe their child belongs in military school. I'll send them to a good military school, and that'll fix them right up. Military schools are a privilege and honor to attend. The child has to be accepted into a military school with letters of references, a certain GPA, et cetera. It's like trying to get into a college.
Mm-hmm.
So military school is not your answer to all those parents that are listening out there, because that's the first thing they think their child needs is a good military school.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen is even if you can get your child into one, they will swiftly be expelled, and you will forfeit your tuition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's yeah. another, you know, but I just think I'm here to help parents help their kids in a positive way. The educational consultants are great, some of them, like you said, and then other ones, well, I've interviewed, you know, I've run my organization for almost nine years now, and when I interview parents, I get a lot of parent feedback, student feedback from different schools and programs throughout the country. What's very consistent with any parent that's hired an educational consultant, and I personally did hire one too, but only used the 1 hour for $350. I didn't go for the whole $5,000, you know, package,
mm-hmm.
is that they were all referred to the same direction. You have to do wilderness, and then you go on to a TBS. And what that does to a parent that I know the industry pretty well. What that does is it gives the parent that hope, oh, well, maybe he or she can be fixed in 6 to 8 weeks of wilderness, because at that time, they don't know that at the end of 4 weeks, they're going to recommend that now you go on to a therapeutic boarding school, which is another year and a half. And
right.
it's my philosophy, and many of the therapists, I don't know about your thoughts on this, is that consistency is one thing that these kids do need, is consistency. And if you're going to keep switching programs, you know what I'm saying? I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure. And I also believe in getting our kids back home, too. I mean, it's not
sure.
like we don't
exactly.
want to send them away for 18 months to 2 years. The average length of a program is 9 to 12 months. And this is just stuff that, you know, again, it's in my book that parents don't know about when you're stepping into this arena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your book for just a minute, Sue, because we've referenced it, and we haven't really explicitly explained what this is. It's called Wits End, and this is your story, Sue.
Well, the first half of the book is my story, and you'll get you'll get details on my story and what brought me to where I am today. Even more importantly, one chapter is written by my daughter.
I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, who's now 23 and doing very well. But it's written in what she endured and how she felt. And I think it's like one of the most powerful chapters in the book. A lot of things she wrote I didn't even know about. I mean, this program that I sent her to kept her isolated in a box for 17 hours. I mean, there was food deprivation. There was no contact. And yes, it happened. I believe everything happens for a reason. But neither here nor there, that the book is broken up into two parts. So the first part is my story. Most importantly, the second part is how to take action as a parent. And I think that is where a lot of parents will benefit from, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I was thrilled to see that Ashlyn had written a chapter for your book. That was,
yes.
To me, that was so powerful, because I want to lay the context for this, too. These teens that are driving you crazy right now are going to become adults with whom you want to have a relationship later on. And the way you approach this now as a parent is going to make a big difference in that. Sue, it appears to me, from my perspective, that you and Ashlyn have a great relationship now.
I think we have a good relationship.
Oh, good. Okay.
No, it's very good. Actually, she just left here a little while ago. Yeah, we have a very good relationship at this point. And I think Pure has helped that. My organization has helped that. She actually came to me when she was 20 years old and said, "You know, Mom, I want to work with teens. I want to do something to give back," because she really felt like she had a lot to offer because she went through so much. So she personally worked at a therapeutic boarding school, you know, doing PE and coaching gymnastics, and she loved it. And she recently just moved back to Florida because she didn't like living outside of the state. She needed to be back closer to home. But
mm-hmm.
Our relationship is, it is much better now, and it has been over the past years, you know, after this whole ordeal that we went through. And she does, you know, she does count. She's not a counselor, don't get me wrong, but she does counsel with other teens, and she loves working with girls, and she can really call them on their little manipulation. She loved that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's all about giving back, and I'm glad that I've raised her to give back, because a lot of these kids, like myself, it would have been much easier just to go run and hide and bury myself in some other type of work or whatever. I mean, I went through 5 years of litigation because I told my story. The abuses that my daughter went through, that school attempted to silence me by suing me. I did win in a jury trial because no one condones child abuse. But I could have easily walked away, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think my daughter really appreciated that, because at first she was like, how could you have sent me to this? You knew what I didn't know what they were doing to her at the time. So it's a healing process for everyone, and I'm hoping and I pray that parents learn from our mistakes and gain from our knowledge.
Exactly. And these experiences that we have are so valuable if we'll take the stuff that life hands us and use it in a way that we can serve others, that we can help to educate other people and just raise the standard of living that other parents are going to have.
You know, just the fact that parents call and they know, how many parents land on my website and they start crying. They said they were just about to choose a program or they didn't know what to do, and they just felt like, oh my God, she understands, because I have been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I think that creates a lot of comfort with other parents too, with parents.
So Sue, we'll put a link on the blog site to your main website, which is Help Your Teen. Is that
Help
right?
Help Your Teens with an S.
Helpyourteens.com. Helpyourteens.com. And there are some links there to the various blogs or other services that that they can get connected to. And then, of course, right on the blog site for Parental Power, we'll have a link so that you can get connected with Sue's book, Wit's End. And a compelling little story. And I think that there's a lot of things to be learned, even if you don't have a struggling teen. Right now, there are some principles there that you can glean from the book about things that we've been talking about here on this call today. So I think that that's a valuable resource, and I just want to commend you and thank you for the work that you're doing, Sue. It's
thank you for the opportunity
stuff.
To share it.
I'm wondering, with the few minutes that we have left, if any of our callers would like to ask a question of Sue or Dr. Jason or Vicki. Anything that you guys would like to bring up?
No, I just really liked the comment that you made. As often as possible, let's keep our kids home and fix things about our interactions with our kids at home where we can, and not be afraid to think outside that box, though. You know, be willing to accept help from people in the help that we're getting. I love that what you said, Sue, that we need to be willing to see the truth about what's happening and face it, not be in denial about it. That is so hard to do. But sometimes you got to ask yourself the hard question, can I handle this if my kid is doing pot?
Think it's about, you're exactly right. And it's about stop playing the blame game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even if it doesn't matter whose fault it is, your individual child really does need help. So stop saying it's my fault or it's my husband's fault or it's because, you know, or
bad friends or anything, right?
Yeah. Let's put that aside and focus on, you know, Joey's smoking pot now. What are we going to do about it?
Well, and like you said, you don't like to always preface that you're a single parent. And I think one of the advantages to not doing that is parents in a two-parent home, they'll go, oh, I don't have to worry about this because I'm not single. It won't happen to me.
Thank you. That's
right.
Exactly what I was trying to verbalize, and she said it exactly right.
Yeah, because I know that even myself as a parent, sometimes you look for those little things that are going to give you that little satisfaction or that little security, oh, it won't happen to me because, you know, that doesn't happen. We don't smoke, and so there's no way my kid's going to get that lighter and burn down the house. And you have these little things that you grasp as a parent. I think sometimes we need to just let go of that and go, okay, if this happens to me, I can handle it. What will I do?
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. And it all goes back to how about when the sex education and how kids don't think that they can get STDs because they've only done this or they've only done that. Just, it doesn't matter. You know, if God forbid you sleep, and I don't believe in the teens sleeping together, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. early, but if they do, you can sleep with one person and get an STD. It's to say, it doesn't matter. You're not isolated. You know what I mean? You're not in a box, like mm-hmm. you said. Mm-hmm. It can happen to anybody, whether you're single, divorced, mm-hmm. you know, straight or gay, I guess. I don't know.
Just go forward from there, and what are we going to do? And we talk a lot about this, learning to believe you can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And at that moment, you don't have that strength, and that's why it's really important to grab onto as much support as you can. And in my book, I mentioned the hush-hush mentality, because parents don't like to admit that they're struggling with their child because, they believe it's a reflection upon themselves. I think the fathers are even worse. I know sometimes the mothers can come to terms where they need to get intervention, but the father is kind of proud because does he want to go into the office if he's like VP of a bank and say, hey, you know, our son just got sent away to, you know, X, Y, and Z school for troubled kids. It's almost, again, a humiliation, whereas you have to put that all aside. Your child comes first. What is best for your individual child?
You know,
and not what people are thinking.
I agree with you, Sue. You know, your conversation and reading your website has been really fun for me. I actually spent the last 3 years working as a psychologist for wilderness and residential programs.
Oh, really?
Yes. Uh-huh. So I understand.
Probably good ones, too. You have a lot of good ones out there in Utah. I go to Utah like 4 times a year.
Good for you. I mean, the fact that you have this as a resource to parents is just wonderful. One of the things that struck me, oftentimes my job was to help the parents and families and the therapists in these programs. So I only worked with programs that had licensed therapists and so forth, but to help them, you know what's the best direction to go. And you're right about kind of that progression. It really did go from wilderness to residential and then to something step down to home. And that's a long time. It's a long process. And I think one of the things that I saw often, maybe, I don't know if more often than not, but parents were at their wits' ends and they really wanted their kid to be fixed. And part of my job was to help them realize that it's not about just fixing your child. It's about, you know, what you're saying right now. It's admitting that it's okay to have difficulties. We work together. This came about because of how we interact together.
It's a whole family recovery, and this is what parents don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's not just the child. The whole family needs to be involved.
Exactly.
Yeah, in the process. And it's like the program that I had sent my daughter to, they isolate. I didn't speak or see to my daughter for 6 months.
Right.
Until I picked her up. So, you're absolutely right in joining the whole family. And, again, there's a lot of great wilderness schools out there, a lot of great therapeutic boarding schools, but parents need to do their homework and find the right one that fits mm-hmm. their individual child.
I agree. And the fact that you have this resource here that doesn't fall into some of those political things you were talking about with consultants is really wonderful, because their child may benefit.
If you work in the field, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly mm-hmm. what you're talking about.
Too well.
And let's, I know we're up at the top of the hour now. This has been a fascinating discussion for me personally, Sue, and I just appreciate your willingness to come and join us on this call. I want to make sure that all of the listeners to the podcast later on, and those who are listening live right now, go check out what Sue has made available through her own experiences and through collaboration with other great parents who just are getting together to help each other and support each other in this difficult issue that could happen to any of us. And the best way to connect with that, there's going to be a link on the blog, of course, in just a few minutes, but helpyourteens.com is the main website that we would point you to. And then, of course, the book, Wit's End, by our guest today, who is Sue Scheff. Thank you, Sue, for joining us. Any last words? We'll give you the last word.
The last word, basically, is what I pretty much have been preaching. You know, don't be a parent in denial. Put your child first and get your child the help that they need. Residential is your absolute last resort. We try to exhaust everything locally. Don't be afraid or embarrassed or ashamed to reach out and get help for your child, because your child is the priority.